Aileen, she said that while we were singing to the Lord. Yeah, by the way, unfortunately, we don't have today translation to Norwegian language. But I pray for you and I hope so that God could open your heart so you would understand my English, you know, because it's also special. You know, Aileen said that when she was singing, then suddenly, before that it was very hard to breathe, even to move. But when she was singing to the Lord, then suddenly something opened, something happened. You know, and I understand what exactly happened, because I met such a situations already hundreds times in my life, in my Christian life, when God was touching the people on the church service. Because in fact, you know, the church and the church service, it is a sacrament. Это священнодействие, to Russian. It is when God serves the people. And I was thinking about myself, for example. I don't have so much to give any one of you, because I don't have different degrees and different spheres of life. I'm not so smart, you know. I'm not so educated. But, you know, as Isaiah said in the chapter number 50 of his book, and the verse number 4, he said that Sovereign Lord has given me the capacity to be his spokesman. The other translation says that God gives me the wisdom to speak, so that I know how to help the weary, so that I could have this wisdom how to help the people who are weary, who struggle in life, you know? So it comes from God. And if God can use us people, we just glorify him. And all the glory for everything that God is doing to us, you know, because who can perform the miracle? I can try, but not a fact. But God can, it is a fact. And we had many miracles described in the Bible and in our life. Today's message is, you have it already, actually. Pesach. Pascha, Passover, the spiritual marriage. You know, there is one interesting anecdote. I hope this you can see something. It's the queue of the people, you know. And in the heaven, angels decided to make such a, you know, interesting task. And they decided that we will collect, when all the men will come, not women, but men will come to the heaven, to the gates of heaven, then we will separate them in two different groups. In one group, there will be all the men who were the heads in their houses, who were making the main decisions in the houses. And in the other group, there would be the men where women made all the decisions in the house. And then they separated it, you know, the different entrances. And then suddenly, the men... you know, the queue of the men who gave responsibility to the woman to make the decisions in the houses. It was the full, you know, full queue. And in another queue, it was standing just one man. And all the men was watching at him, what's happening, you know? We should come to him and ask him, how you managed, you know, in life like that. And then he came, then they came and asked him, and he said... that they came and asked why you are standing here, you know, was you really able to manage in life like that? And he said, I don't know, my wife sent me to stand here. There is also the other joke about, you know, in the Bible is written that man is the head of the family, head of the house, you know. But there always is, you know, some arguments, you know, that, you're the head, says woman, but I'm the neck. So, you know, where neck is turning, their head is turning, so. Yeah. In the Gospel of Mark, 10th chapter, it is written that what God joined together, let no one separate. You know, it is a very important message about the marriage. When Jesus speaks about the marriage, about relationships between men and women, when they get together, when they build a family. Because the family, it is something holy for God. You know, and it is written that what God builds together, what God joins together, let no one separate. You know, one important thing here is to understand that it is a God who joined the people together. You know, I saw many times that, you know, for example, when we see different family unions, you know, families, we see that men and women, they are often different. Women have her own talents, her own kind of powerful or strong parts of personality. Men have the others. And often it is very interesting to see how these two parts, you know, combine together. And then what's fruit then comes out from such relationships. We were speaking once in our Marita Stiftelsen gatherings in our shop in the Centrum. And then we spoke about, you know, our strong and weak parts of our personalities. Because it is a fact also that not every one of us, we are strong in all the parts of our personalities and everywhere in life, you know. And then two strong people come together and then they have a big fruit. More often, if we speak even about different ministries, we have different people who have different tasks. We have different people, if we look on society, who are different totally. And they are, one of them are stronger in one part of the life, another are stronger in another part of the life. You know, and in the Psalm 68:28, David is writing that you, God, has commanded your strength. It is written that God commanded your strength. It is very important to understand that you have your strong part of your personality, and it is from God, you know? And then in Romans 15:1, it is written that now we who are strong are called to bear the weaknesses of those without the strength, and not just to please ourselves. Then Paul teaches that our strong parts or strong parts of our personalities should feel, you know, the weakness and meet the weakness of the people who are not strong in these parts of life. And it is always, you know, co-work. It is always a combination of different tasks, different possibilities in life. Why did I start to speak about it? You know, no matter what ministry and task we bear in our life, we should bear it together with our partners. You know, it is always co-work, and it is very, really important to understand. For example, yesterday, we have a family. There Ida is standing. Hello, Ida. You know, often when I prepare the message, it takes quite a time. And sometimes, you know, I sit to write something, and I spend all the day, as yesterday, for example. And then about 5 o'clock, Ida came because she was visiting Hege, and they had some good time together. So Ida gave me possibility to be, you know, in peace and prepare the message. And then I didn't have anything, you know. Everything I wrote, I had such a feeling that, you know, I put together some Lego constructor, some special part, you know. And like I built it already almost totally, and that I kind of forgot the one part which should be there inside, you know. And I was sitting just, oh my God, honey, I don't know what to do. and then she just took care of Jakob, our son. And she just took care of him all the evening, you know, and I was writing my preaching and preparing my message and presentation till about 12:30. But that's how it works really in the families, you know. We take care of each other. We help one another to fulfill what we are called to do. So I just want to say thank you, Ida, from all the church. Yeah. So when we, you know, also for us men, Bible speaks quite a lot that, for example, we need to love our wife the same as Christ loves the church. And it's very important to understand, you know, because these pictures, these images that we read in the Bible, they often help us to understand the values, the true values of life. And then the true values of life, which is inside us, they help us to make the right decisions. And then, as a result of that, we can see the fruit of life. We can see that life is progressing. Life is, you know, is fruitful. We really bring some good fruits and good results. So together with our families, then we have a mutual life, mutual blessings, mutual burdens, mutual responsibilities, and mutual victories. We live the life together. Bible often compares our relationships with God with our relationships with husband and wife. Jesus used this example quite often in his teaching when he explained his listeners and followers the principles of the kingdom of God. For example, in Matthew 22:2, it is written that the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast to his son. You know, in this parable, it is written that the king, it is God the Father, and the son for whom king prepared the wedding feast is Jesus. In Matthew 25:1, it is written that the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. You know, in this parable, it is written about the bridegroom, about the man, that it is Jesus whom we should wait. And then the virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom, it is the believers or the church which need to be prepared and waiting for the bridegroom to come. You know, for me personally, as for men, as for guy, it always was a little bit contradictive, you know. For me to hear that I am the bride of Christ, you know, it is something, you know, the man usually feels like that. You know, the bride. Snure, you're the bride. You know, so it's a little bit crazy. But of course, these things we need to understand in figurative sense. Not in the straight. Another place where it is written about the wedding, it is written in the book of Revelation. It is a very important book of the Bible where we can read a lot of very important theology about the things to come and about the end of the ages and so on. And it is interesting to read and very important to read and understand these things. But about the wedding also, it is written that then he, angel, said to John, because he went to the heaven and had conversation with the angel and God showed him the things to come in the future. Angel said to John, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Of the Lamb. You know, here we have these two pictures already. One picture is the picture of marriage. Before that, we were reading about the Jesus about the bridegroom whom we should expect as a bride, as a church. And here it is also coming the picture of Lamb. So actually the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, if we think about the Lamb, this picture of the Lamb is bringing us to the Old Testament. To the whole, you know, the beginning of the whole feast of Passover, of Paske, po-norsk. It's a very interesting text where we see two things combined together. Image of marriage, yeah, and image of the Lamb. Image of the Lamb brings us back to the Old Testament, to the situation when the people of God, the Hebrews, were enslaved by Egyptians. If we speak about this story shortly, you know, there were the people who knew God. God called Abraham. They went out from the Gentiles. And God started to build the relationships with them people. Then it was the family, Abraham had the son Isaac. And Isaac had the son Jacob. He had two sons, but the son Jacob. And Jacob was born 12 sons. So it was quite a big family. So, and God's plan was to build the whole nation from one man, the Abraham, whom he called. And the main thing was the connection of God together with the people. They were chosen, you know. It was just as God does with every one of us. He just chooses us to build close, real relationships with us. And then this family lived, and at some point, God brought them to Egypt. It was already a big empire, you know. It was already a big nation who were living, had their traditions, and the Jews were living there. I don't remember exactly how many years, but they came there because the Joseph, son of Jacob, he was the Pharaoh made him the prime minister of Egypt. But after a while, we know this story that another Pharaoh, he made all the Jews, all the tribe, all the nation of Jews, they made them the slaves. And then these people, they came to slavery. Then there was a God's plan of deliverance, because God didn't want them to be the slaves in Egypt, in this land, where the Egyptians used them as they wanted, as a slaves, and they were asking them or pushing them to do the hard works. And God spoke to Moses to take out the people from the Egypt. And then, because for Egyptians it wasn't, you know, good to let out the Jews, you know, it wasn't beneficial because they were slaves, they were doing the hard works. Of course, the Pharaoh didn't want to let them out. And then for all the years that Jews were there under the pressure, God decided to bring 10 plagues to the Egypt to punish the people who were oppressing the Jews. You know, in this kind of understanding, it is also some important thought that no matter what we do in our life, you know, the work, the law of sowing and the fruit, you know, will work. Because, you know, Egyptians, they pushed hard the Jews, you know, they were very rough to them. And after a while, they were reaping what they sowed. So we understand the meaning of these 10 plagues. 10 plagues God specially used to punish the Egyptians for all the bad things that they did to the people of God. Then it was exit from Egypt. God judged it. God gave these 10 plagues, and he took out the Jews from the Egypt. Then there was another point, the life in the desert, but then it was the entrance to the promised land. Maybe I made this story a little bit complicated, you know. You can read it yourself in the Bible. But, you know, there in this story, in the middle of this story, we meet the Pesach, the Pascha, the Passover for the first time. Because, you know, it was the 10 plagues that God gave to Egypt. Because in the middle of all these plagues, the last plague was that God punished all the Egyptians with the death of their firstborn children. It's a little bit hard to hear, because, you know, the story, often the story that we read in the Bible, they are a little bit tough. But it is very important truth in it, that the blood of the lamb, you know, that Jews were called to slaughter, was the key of deliverance from the plague of death. You know, the story says, I will read it. In Exodus 12:13, it is written that the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, so that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this plague will not fall on you to destroy you when I attack the land of Egypt. You know, this last plague was the plague of death. When God punished the people who were bad to the other people, there was a plague of death in Egypt. But the deliverance, the answer was that God asked Jews to bring the sacrifice, the lamb, you know, and take the blood of lamb and put the blood on the door boxes, around the doors. So then when the angel went to kill, when the angel went to punish the people, the blood of lamb was a sign that these people belong to God. It is very important for us to understand. And also the most important thing is to understand that God uses this image, the whole history of the Jewish people in Egypt and their deliverance, to show the whole plan of salvation of the mankind. Pascha, what we celebrate now. It is Palm Sunday today, Palm Sunday, and all the next week we will celebrate the Pascha, which, you know, in this special time, it is very important to think about the things which happened. From the full perspective, we see here the whole historical chain, which starts from the creation of Adam, the man, and Eve, the woman, their fall into sin, coming enslavement, and the plan of God, the plan of salvation. And the key role here is given to the Lamb of God, the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his sacrifice. Another important thing is the understanding that plan of God was not only to lead people out of the slavery. It's very important to understand. You know, slavery of sin, it is a very terrible thing. You know, it is maybe a little bit harder to understand when the people are born in Christian families. Because together with the milk of the mother, you already partake the faith in Christ. And then the principles of God, which come together, they help you to live the good life. You know, to come through the life without the big mistakes. And to have a success. But for the people maybe who were born, you know, not in the Christian families and who have their own sinful experience, we know that sin brings the pain. Yeah. Sin often brings the problems, the difficulties, the hardships, first to the heart. Because of the sin, the heart makes become harder. Just court testimony. I remember one woman, you know, because I was born when I was 21, and I was at the church, and to the church came one young woman. It is a real story. And this woman, when she was sitting on the ministry, first she was just laughing very loudly, but it wasn't, you know, healthy laughter, because pastor was preaching very important message. And this woman was sitting in the back and laughing as she was, you know, possessed of the demon, or as she was mentally almost sick. And then all the church were looking back to this woman, you know, understanding what's happening, because in the Bible we read quite a lot of these kind of things about the spiritual freedom and spiritual captivity that can be. And this woman was listening to the message, and after this message we were speaking with her and sent her to rehab center. There she got saved. She met Christ. She became a believer. And together with the faith, you know, together with the presence of God in your life, the spiritual freedom comes. And then the woman, I just clearly see this picture. The woman who came to church first, her inner spiritual condition. And the woman, you know, who was delivered by Christ. If you compare this to persons, you know, it's totally two different persons. Today this girl lives, she have a family, she have a children, she have a successful life and part of the church, and very thankful to God for everything God made for her, you know. But it is true. We clearly see the picture of, you know, spiritual slavery and spiritual freedom that brings God to the life of the people. So, important thing is the understanding of the plan of God, that he was not only he not only wanted to lead people out of the slavery, but the plan of God was to bring people to the promised land and restore everything what was destroyed through the fall of man, of Adam and Eve. You know, we see this whole perspective in this story of Jews in Egypt. The whole plan of salvation of God. And God in the New Testament also used the same image. Pascha, Passover. You know, in fact, the word Pascha or Passover, it simply means to go, you know, over, to pass over. When the punishment comes, it will not touch you. Because there is a sign of blood of the Lamb on your door, you know. And the angel, the punisher, will just go through, pass you. And here we come back to the wonderful and amazing image of the marriage. We will read this verse again. Revelation 19:9. Then he said to me, angel said to John, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now we understand that the Lamb of God was Jesus. And his bride, the church, we forget this image of man, you know, sitting there. The bride is a church. When Jesus was sitting together with his disciples on the Last Supper, straight before his crucifixion, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave the pieces to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is for you. After that, he took a cup of wine or wine juice, blessed it, and said, this is the new covenant in my blood. And after this supper, everything what was promised by him and by God was fulfilled. He went to the cross where his body was broken and his holy blood was shed. The perfect sacrifice for the sin of mankind has been made. Moment before he died, he said, remember that, it is done. In the Gospel of John, 6th chapter, we can read interesting dialogue of Jesus with his followers. When he lived on the earth, he was walking together with the people and speaking with them. Jesus was explaining them the structure of the world. In this conversation, Jesus explained important truths. I will read just a few verses from it. It is Gospel of John, chapter number 6. First verse is verse number 28. So then they people said to him, Jesus, what was we do to accomplish the deeds of God, or deeds God requires? Jesus replied, this is the deed of God, or a deed God requires, to believe in the one whom he sent. Verse number 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never go hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. And verse number 40, for this is the will of my Father, for everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You know, I personally love the Bible. I saw in the life, you know, no matter how educated you can be, you still will have a lot of blind spots. Education don't give answer for all the questions, you know, especially the question of our existence, especially of the meaning, on the meaning of our life. Why do we live? Why we are here? Especially on the questions of why we're different from all the creatures, you know, from all the animals. Why we think, why we speak, why we can act, why we can decide the things. It's very important to understand. And Bible gives us clear answers on these questions. You know, if we just, you know, ask the questions, only in this chapter, in these three verses, we can get answer for three very important questions of life. Number one, what should we do to accomplish the will of God? Jesus answers, believe in him whom he have sent. You know, what can we do to please God? Simply believe Jesus and everything he said. It is the answer. If you want to live successful and good life, answer is very simple. Believe Jesus and everything he said. You will have a good life. It is proved. The second question, what can bring us the real satisfaction in a life? The answer, I am the bread of life, Jesus said. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Proved. 100%. Till the age of 81. I tried everything, you know. I was born in capital, in Tallinn, in capital of Estonia, right in the center of the city. I was dancing breakdance, writing graffitis, and I tested, you know, I wanted to test everything in life. You know, after that, of course, when I repented, came to God, there is such interesting ministry, it calls Encounter. It is simply, you know, the ministry of repentance, where you confess your sins. And then the leaders of the church, pastors, seven pastors, come together with the people who just come to Jesus, and they preach about different sins, you know, different spheres of life when people can sin. And when they preached about different sins, all the sins they named, you know, I was marked everywhere. You know the result of it? When I was 21, I wanted to kill myself. I lived out on the street half of year as a homeless, you know, had heroin addiction. And I will not name all the things that I did, you know. Of course, maybe I didn't kill men, but I was thinking about it many times. That's the result of sinful life. But he who, you know, who come to Jesus, Jesus says, I am the bread. You will have a full satisfaction in life if you will eat my flesh, you know, and drink my blood. Third question is, how can we enter the eternal life? Very important question, you know, because longer we live, closer to our pension we are, more often we ask this question. How can I enter the eternal life? The answer is simple. Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Just one verse, just one chapter of the Bible, you know, and gives so much of understanding of life. One chapter. One Jewish rabbi, Jacob Shatagin, writes about Pesach as about the greatest wedding in the whole universe. In his work, he compares the celebration of Pesach, Passover, Pascha, with celebration of the marriage in Jewish tradition. One interesting fact is that both celebrations are conducted 7 days. It is 7 days of Pascha and 7 days the Feast of Wedding. Another important, you know, an interesting fact is that there is a tradition to speak the seven special blessings for every day of celebration of the newlyweds. There is 7 days celebration of wedding in Jewish tradition, and for every day there is a special blessing. Hege. Now you can call. I just asked Hege to play a little bit, and I have this desire today, you know. It was the last part of my constructor yesterday, the last missing one. And the last part was to, you know, I clearly felt when I was, preparing this message yesterday that God wants me to say these words to the church. we clearly understood from today's story that, you know, the bridegroom is a Jesus. And the lamb is also him, the sacrifice. We clearly understand that the bride is us, the church, us, the believers, us who follow Jesus. And we clearly understood that this connection happened on the cross. This connection happened when Jesus died for us, shed the blood, and his last words here on the earth was, "It's done. It's done. It's done for every one of us." You know? So this coming week, I just want all of us to celebrate this wedding. And for this coming week, I want to speak these blessings for every day of this week, for your life. You know? I will read them to the Church of Christ today. The first blessing is the blessing of God, the ruler of the universe. It is very important blessing. It's spoken specially so that in the middle, you know, of your life, as a bride, as a bridegroom, you know, as a family in God, as a person who connected to your bridegroom, you would respect God, the creator of the universe. It is a foundation of everything. The second blessing is the blessing of a man who is made in God's image. It is written that God first made Adam. Adam it was. He created Adam in his image and in his likeness. And after a while, he, you know, it is very important also theology that he not just created Eve to addition. He took some parts of personality from Adam and split the responsibilities and qualities. So that all the men received masculine, you know, parts of personalities, the protection, to take care, you know, to be strong, to support. And all the women would receive the feminine parts of personality to take care of men from their part. So the second blessing is a blessing of man. And third blessing is the blessing of the wife, the glory of the husband. Together. The fourth blessing is the blessing of the children, the fruit of the parents. Children can be two types, you know. It can be children from our flesh and children from the spirit, the spiritual children. God wants to bless every single part of your life. I just speak this blessing to your life today in the name of Jesus Christ. May it be fulfilled. The fifth blessing is the blessing of provision of necessities of the life. This blessing simply, you know, that God will take care of you from now on and forever. You will have everything you need for your life. You will see it. May God bless you abundantly. You know, today in the morning my cat came and before me Ida stood up. And we have this dry food. It's very tasty. We buy it in a special shop. But also we have this, you know, some specially soft, very tasty one that he loves. And he's, you know, he's trickster. He's manipulating. Ida stood first. He came to her. Mommy, can I get some? And we have this kind of rule that one part of the pack we give in the morning and another in the evening. And when I stood up after Ida, I came to the kitchen and he came to me as he didn't receive anything from Ida. Interesting. And of course I'm smart, you know. I came to Ida and asked, "Did he get something from you?" She said, "Yes." I said, Moses, again, you tried to trick me. But then I just gave him something. A little bit more than he needed, you know. So may God be so good to you that you could get a little bit more, you know, so that even you could share with the others. The sixth blessing is the blessing of joy in the life of husband and wife. You know, there where is the Spirit of God, there is a freedom. the kingdom of God, Jesus said that it is the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's very important. So may God's joy be in your life. And the seventh blessing, it is a little bit special blessing, you know. I'm finishing here. I know that I'm a little bit longer than needed. The seventh blessing, a little bit special. The blessing of the fruit of the vine in Jewish tradition. In the New Testament, it is a type of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks that don't be drunk by the wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's better. It's clean. It's clean and good. So it is a presence of Holy Spirit, extra power, extra wisdom, extra help for your life. So may all these blessings come abundantly into your life in the name of Jesus. Every single of them, and dwell on you forever. In the end, I want to read this, the blessing of Aaron, and I will finish on it. Can we just pray now together? Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Dear God, we thank you very much for this perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you have done for all the mankind on the cross, that through your death and resurrection, every single believer received a new life. And together with this new life, your real presence in our life. And together with your real presence in our life, all the blessing, everything. Because God never comes alone. He always brings something to your life in the name of Jesus Christ. So please, the church, be blessed. And let us celebrate this week, you know, as a bride of Christ. Let us celebrate, you know, and receive all these blessings to our lives. Amen.